Gopis search for Krishna. Text number 34. Atmaramo Pyakandita Kaminam Darshayam Dhanyam Sthinam Cheva Durakatam Venetaya Tadmaratta Atmaramo Pyakandita pleasure only within himself. Padma Arama, completely self-satisfied. Api, although Pakandita, never incomplete. Kaminam, of ordinary lusty men. Darshayam, showing. Danyam, the degraded condition. Strinam, of ordinary women. Cha, eva, also. Dadatmatam, the hard-heartedness. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Lord Krishna enjoyed with that gopi although he enjoys only within, being self-satisfied and complete in himself. Thus, by contrast, he showed the wretchedness of ordinary lusty men and hard-hearted women. Translation responsibly. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Lord Krishna enjoyed with that gopi. Although he enjoys only within, being self-satisfied and complete in himself. Thus by contrast, he showed the wretchedness of ordinary lusty men and hard-hearted women. Support by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Vīdyānanda Gosvāmī Maharaj. This verse directly refutes the superficial criticism materialistic people sometimes direct against Lord Krishna's pastimes. The philosopher Aristotle claimed that ordinary activities are unworthy of God. And with this idea in mind, some people declare that since the activities of Lord Krishna resemble those of ordinary human beings, he cannot be the absolute truth. But in this verse, Sukadeva Goswami emphatically points out that Lord Krishna acts on the liberated platform of spiritual self-satisfaction. This fact is indicated here by the terms Atmarata, Atmarama and Akandita. It is inconceivable to ordinary people that a handsome young boy and a beautiful girl enjoying romantic conjugal affairs in the forest moonlight can be engaging in pure activity, free from egoistic desire and lust. Yet, while Lord Krishna is inconceivable to ordinary persons, those who love him can easily realize the absolute pure nature of his activities. One may argue that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and that therefore the devotees of Krishna her only imagining the Lord's activities to be pure. This argument ignores many significant facts. For one, the path of Krishna consciousness, of developing love for Krishna, demands that a devotee strictly follow four regulative principles: no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, and no eating of meat, fish or eggs. When one is freed from material lust and rises to the liberated platform beyond material desire, one realizes the absolute beauty of Lord Krishna. This process is not theoretical. It has been practiced and completed by many thousands of great sages who have left us their shining example and their brilliant teachings concerning the path of Krishna consciousness. Certainly, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. However, real beauty is perceived by the soul's eye and not by the lusty eye of the material body. Therefore, the Vedic literature repeatedly stresses that only those freed from material desire can see the beauty of Lord Krishna with the eye of the pure soul, anointed with love of Godhead. It may finally be noted that upon realizing the pastimes of Lord Krishna, one becomes free from all tinges of sex desire, a state of mind that can hardly result from meditating upon material sexual affairs. One final note. The conjugal pastimes of Krishna perfectly round out his qualification as the Supreme Absolute Truth. The Vedanta states that the Absolute Truth is the source of everything, so certainly the Absolute cannot lack any of the beautiful things of this world. It is only because romantic affairs exist in a pure spiritual form in the Absolute that they can manifest in a perverted material form in this world. Thus, the apparent beauty of this world is not to be absolutely rejected. Rather, beauty should be accepted in its pure spiritual form. Since the beginning of time, men and women have been inspired to poetic rapture by the art of romance. Unfortunately, romance in this world usually leads to crushing disappointment brought about by a change of heart or by death. Thus, although we may at first find romantic affairs beautiful and enjoyable, they are eventually spoiled by the onslaught of material nature. Still, it is unreasonable to totally reject the concept of romance. Rather, we should accept conjugal attraction in its absolute, perfect, pure form as it exists within God, without a tinge of material lust or selfishness. That pure conjugal attraction, the supreme beauty and pleasure of the supreme truth, is what we are reading about here in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. today is also the disappearance day of Bhakrishara Pandit, and let's speak a little bit about Bhakrishara Pandit just quickly. He was in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he was actually an incarnation of Aniruddha. Mm-hmm. And he was also considered to be, in Krishna's pastimes, he manifested as Bhukuri Muni, who used to read the Vedic literatures in the house of Nanda Maharaj. And he, in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he was one of the original devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the very beginning. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to live in Jagannath Puri, he went there as well and resided with him permanently, you know, along with devotees like Gadadhar Pandit and devotees like that, Paramananda Puri. So he was a very wonderful speaker at Bhagavatam, and in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he particularly liked to dance. It is said that he could dance for 72 hours in complete ecstasy without cessation. without becoming fatigued. So we sometimes struggle for half an hour in the morning to whip up a little ecstasy, a couple of quick steps. But he would dance non-stop. He was, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always having big kirtans. Sometimes he would circumambulate Jagannath Puri temple, and he would have four different kirtan parties going around. And generally he would have devotees, the main dancers of the groups would be Vakrasvara Pandit, Nityananda Prabhu would be another, Advaita Acharya would be another, and Srivas Thakur, or sometimes Haridas Thakur. During the Rath Yatra ceremonies, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes have seven kirtan parties, each with two mridangas, and each with a principal dancer that everyone else would respond to. And he was always one of those principal dancers. So in that way, this particular associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, eternal associate, showed us how to dance our way back to Godhead like that. But he was, in dancing with the chanting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually said of Vakrasvara Pandit that he said, I have one wing. If I had another wing like you, I could certainly fly. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was tasting transcendental ecstatic emotions on the spiritual platform, and such devotees reciprocated with that mood and enhanced those wonderful ecstatic feelings. Just like in kirtan, when you're having kirtan and you see devotees dancing, then that enthuses those who are singing or playing the instruments and other people, then they want to dance. And then when the person who is singing or leading, when they become, see everyone dancing, become ecstatic, they become more enthusiastic. So the dancers become more enthusiastic. So there's this spiritual life is like that. It's this reciprocal unfolding, unlimitedly unfolding pastime of ecstasy. Expanding the ocean of ecstasy. So he was always tasting the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he used to speak the Srimad Bhagavatam. He was a very, very wonderful speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually said one time he was speaking with Vallabha Bhatta. And Vallabha, he detected, a little pride in Vallabha Bhatta, and Vallabha, there was some discussion about Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, I only understand the pastimes of Krishna and Srimad Bhagavatam, because of devotees such as Vakrasvara Pandit, and otherwise, I am a Mayavadi sannyasi with no real understanding. So, in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, teaching Vallabha Bhatta to be, prideless in order to come to the position where he could really relish and understand Srimad Bhagavatam. And there was one Brahmana, Devananda Pandit, who he was a professional reciter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, professional reciters of the Srimad Bhagavatam had no access to understanding the pastimes of Krishna. They cannot understand. There's no bhakti. Bhakti is the only way that we can access, understand and speak about the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was speaking, and Srivas Pandit happened to be there, and when he heard those discussions he began to cry. And when he began to cry, then the followers of Devananda Pandit chased him out of there. You know, rascal. So anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came past a little later on, and he severely chastised Devananda Pandit. You are the rascal. You don't know anything about Krishna's pastimes, you don't know anything about Srimad Bhagavatam. But still, even, you know, being chastised by the Lord himself, he could not appreciate the nature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or the nature of devotional service. But later, Bhaktisvara Pandit came to his house and he spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam, then Devananda, for the first time, he understood. He understood Krishna's pastimes, and he understood the relationship based upon bhakti at this. So Vakrasvara Pandit, in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated the principle that unless one hears from the authorized devotees of the Lord, it is not possible to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a very significant pastime considering today's verse, which is particularly about that point. Reading the translation again, is that Lord Krishna enjoyed with that gopi, although he enjoys only within, being self-satisfied and complete in himself. Thus, by contrast, he showed the wretchedness of ordinary lusty men and hard-hearted women. So here, in our ISKCON, we have our own Devananda Pandits, such as Hridayananda Goswami Maharaj. And because of, you know, this, his brilliant purport, then we can have access into this very, this verse here, which is an essential verse within this particular pastime, which is an essential verse within, you know, all of the pastimes of Krishna. So it's very deep and significant. These pastimes for the gopis are the most mysterious, the greatest mystery, Srila Prabhupada says, in spiritual understanding. And we are right in the thick of it here. So understanding this is not possible for ordinary persons like myself, but we have these wonderful explanations by devotees such as Sridharananda Maharaj, and it just places us so very easily into the picture of things, and we can get a glimpse. But that is the only way to hear these devotees of the Lord, these wonderful devotees in ISKCON, they are empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to reveal the pastimes of Krishna. And apart from that, there is no other access. Srila Prabhupada was empowered to present Krishna consciousness to the most fallen people, the most foolish, ignorant, self-absorbed, lusty, degraded people on earth. And he could take this unknown philosophy, which is for thousands of years even great sages have not been able to enter into, and Srila Prabhupada had the ability to make great fools such as myself get some little inkling of the understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Hridayananda Maharaj here, he is describing that this verse directly refutes the superficial criticism materialistic people sometimes direct against Lord Krishna's pastimes. So, that criticism is that these pastimes of Krishna are, how do you put it here, ordinary activities. So materialistic people, they see these activities with Krishna, and they make the claim that Krishna is engaged in ordinary activities because he's enjoying, you know, loving affairs with women to satisfy his lusty desires. And that is exactly the sort of thing that we do in this, you know, in our, you know, material life. You know, they're our ordinary affairs, and these appear to be Krishna's ordinary affairs. So therefore, he cannot be God. That is their understanding. So, they all, as pointed out here, they also say that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So, you know, having that vision, they'll look at these pastimes and they'll think, well, the devotees are just imagining that there is something pure and spiritual about it. That's just their speculation. It's their, you know, view on things. But it really has no basis in reality. You know, spiritual affairs have nothing to do with Krishna and his pastimes with the gopis. Spiritual affairs, you know, are meditating upon the void or the impersonal Brahman, becoming detached from the material world. That is spiritual life, and you know, we have to become detached from all these things, such as, you know, what Krishna is displaying here, right there. So, therefore, they're saying beauty is in the eye of the beholder. The devotees are just imagining that these are wonderful, beautiful, you know, spiritual pastimes like that. So, Śrīla Vidyānanda Mahārāja then is making the point that to make that claim, they have to ignore some very, very significant facts. So this is where it gets interesting. What are those significant facts that they're ignoring? Now, a major point is that devotees have always stated, the Vedic literatures have always stated, and the great spiritual acharyas have always stated that to perceive the beauty, to realise these pasts, to understand the beauty of these pastimes, the spiritual significance of them, one has to rise to the transcendental platform and be completely free from all material contamination. So that's a very significant point. So they're saying these are ordinary activities, and yet they're ignoring the fact that all the scriptures, all the Vaishnavacharyas, all the great saintly personalities, Krishna himself, Bhagavad Gita, they are saying that you understand these pastimes to actually perceive the spiritual beauty of them, one must become free from material contamination and rise to the spiritual platform. Otherwise, it is not possible to understand them. Here, he elaborates a little bit on this point that he says, therefore, I'll skip this paragraph, but he says, certainly beauty is in the eye of the beholder, however real beauty is perceived by the soul's eye and not the lusty eye of the material body. Okay. So and he also states that one, he says, it may finally be noted, upon realising the pastimes of Lord Krishna, one becomes free from all tinges of sex desire, a state of mind that can hardly result from meditating on material sexual affairs. So if we actually see those devotees who have seen the transcendental beauty of Krishna's pastimes, and therefore they meditate upon those pastimes, they become completely free from all material contamination. We saw that in the life of Śrīla Prabhupāda. We see that in the life of the followers of Prabhupāda and the followers of Prabhupāda's followers. We see that in the life of all the acharyas, Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura, Shalabhat, you know, from his entire life. All the acharyas, you know, their associates, their disciples, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, you know, that all, you know, completely avoided sex life altogether and come to that platform, showed us that that others can come to that platform by meditating on Krishna's pastimes. So how can they be ordinary sexual pastimes? Because if you meditate on, you know, ordinary sex for a few seconds, you immediately become lusty. You know, you meditate on sexual, you know, pastimes in this material world, affairs, not pastimes, sexual, they call it implications. Some entanglements, pastimes. If one meditates on those activities in the material world, one becomes lusty, and no one ever becomes free from sex desire by thinking about ordinary affairs. And yet, Krishna's affairs, you meditate upon those. And it is a process by which you actually become free from, you know, sex desire in the material world. So, you know, these are very significant points. Sukadeva Goswami here is also pointing out the contrast. So, this point here that, yes, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but one can perceive the actual transcendental nature of Krishna's pastimes coming to the spiritual platform, the spiritual eye, not the material eyeball. You know, as he puts it here, that, you know, not the lusty eye of the material body. So, but even the spiritual vision, does not behold the beauty of Krishna's pastimes until it is tinged with the self of love. When the living entity actually becomes free from envy of God, and that love begins to manifest, then they can perceive. Until then, they don't even want to look. There's none so blind as those who do not wish to see. There's none so deaf as those who do not wish to hear. You try, you know, speaking something to someone who doesn't want to hear what you're saying. They cannot hear. They'll speak so much nonsense. They'll speak nonsense that doesn't even make sense. You know, sometimes you find that when you're preaching to people, you're talking about, you know, giving up meat, how it causes you trouble. They just start speaking nonsense. It doesn't even make sense. But they just say it. They feel that they've said something. You know, because they just don't want to hear, you know. They'll hear anything, even if it's nonsense coming out of their own mouths. It doesn't make sense. You know. And you defeat their own, they'll just say some other nonsense. But they just don't want to hear it. I'm not giving up meat. It's as simple as that. If someone's envious of God, they just don't want to see that, you know, He is actually, you know, or Krishna is actually God. Here I am, you know, trying to be God. I don't want to know that He's actually, that He's actually there. He's a real person. They're Krishna, Prabhupada, Krishna. So they don't want to know that. And, you know, if you point out, yes, here is Krishna, then, that couldn't be Krishna. Because I don't want to see that, I don't want to hear that, and therefore, you know, I can immediately find so many faults and, they're just ordinary persons. So, they're just, you know, they want to be illusioned, they want to be cheated, and therefore they cheat themselves, and so many other people come along and say, yes, you are a very intelligent man, because you believe the same illusion that's in my books, like this, and they together, they all chum me on their way to hell. So, you know, if someone wants to be cheated, there are so many people. Actually, Krishna makes their faith stronger. If that is their desire, if someone has the desire that I really want to believe that God does not exist, you know, that Krishna is not God, that these pastimes, you know, have nothing to do with spiritual life, Krishna will send so many expert cheaters who can spin so much nonsense so expertly that they'll become, yes, completely bewildered. And that's what happens. Actually, you know, some of the Mayavadi, the Mayavadi philosophers, they are so expert in, you know, dispensing this poison against God, that even, you know, elevated devotees who hear from them, they can also, their minds can be turned. What to speak of ordinary people? They're very powerful. They're very powerful because they're empowered by God. Because that's what people want. People want to be, you know, they want deep, deep forgetfulness of Krishna. So Krishna arranges that. I will send this cheetah. He will put you into the deepest forgetfulness. He will put you in a great illusion. So, but you know, by purification, the living entity actually comes to the point where they at least have a submissive attitude and they're willing to hear and open their eyes and say, you know, let me hear with an open mind and you hear what you've got to say. You know, perhaps Krishna could be God, okay. You know, I am the most intelligent person on this planet, but, you know, I'll listen to you. You may know something of this. So, therefore Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that one should approach the spiritual master and hear from him submissively. This submissiveness, what is the submissiveness? The submissiveness means it actually... you will accept what you hear. That's the submissiveness. Submissiveness means you come to the point where you know, you will hear and you're willing to accept what you hear if it is, it's got the ring of truth and sounds right. Without that submissiveness, if someone is hearing in a challenging spirit, they're not willing to hear, then even that hearing will not be effective. So we must hear from the right person, and we must hear in the right mood, as a clean slate. Therefore it is said that when one approaches the spiritual master, they approach the spiritual master as a clean slate. As Prabhupada Swami describes, you know, when we approach people, we to try and get them to take Krishna consciousness, we ask them to, we flatter them. You're such a very exalted personality, you know, you're so wise and, you know, well-travelled and, you know, so, you know, qualified in so many ways. You know, I can see that, you know, if I speak something, you're probably qualified enough to understand what I'm going to say about this Krishna consciousness. You know, you're such a lot of people cannot understand, but see, you have the qualities, you have the good qualities. And, I have no good qualities, but I'm just the humble servant, my spiritual master, but you're very qualified, and you have so much knowledge, but just for the moment, if you could just forget all that you know, just put that aside, and hear the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's a very polite way of saying that everything you know is useless. That's what you're actually saying, but you're saying it in such a way that they're just putting it aside, and then they'll hear. So even if people don't want to come to the hear from the devotees as a clean slate, we can, you know, by taking the tactics of the acharyas, we can, you know, get them to clean that slate up a little bit, so that they may be able to hear some statements about Krishna consciousness. So, in order to come to the spiritual platform, be free from material contamination, envy, to be free from absorption in the lusty affairs of this material world, one follows a certain process. In order to perceive matters on the transcendental platform, we have to first begin to understand the nature of matters on the material platform. The material platform is the platform we're on, so at least we can begin to understand. It is a miserable condition. And there is a huge amount of endeavour for just a tiny speck of pleasure here and there. And along with that endeavour, we have to accept so many births and deaths for those few specks of pleasure. So that is the nature of material enjoyment. Now, understanding that, seeing material pleasure for what it is, and then we look at spiritual activities which have none of those qualities and none of those features. So that's the first thing we can understand about spiritual life, is it doesn't have any of those material problems. But it does have a lot of spiritual benefits. So, in order to come to that platform, that spiritual platform, one has to chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no eating meat, no gambling, avoid offences to the Supreme Lord, avoid offences, the 64 different offences to the deities. By following the process chalked out by Srila Prabhupada, getting up the Mangalati, shake off the mode of ignorance, having kirtan, twice a day at least, morning and evening, every day, hearing something from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, always associating with the devotees. Srila Prabhupada says, these activities are the backbone of our society. And he says, there is no question of spiritual life if you do not follow them. No question. There's no question of spiritual life unless someone follows, unless those principles are followed. Because that is the minimum standard which will get you released from the clutches of Maya. So that is the, that is the understanding of the Acharyas. Anything less than that, and you will still be under the clutches of Maya to a greater degree. But that is the minimum. If you do that, then yes, at that point you can become released from the clutches of Maya, illusion, ignorance, foolishness, and revive the dormant love of God, which is there already within the heart of the spirit soul. It becomes revived because the material covering comes off. When love of God is covered by the material energy, it manifests as lusty affairs in the material world. And when love of God becomes uncovered, then that side of life falls away, and then one engages in pure spiritual loving affairs on the spiritual platform with the Supreme Lord and his associates. So by that minimum level of spiritual activity, one comes to the spiritual platform, and that by that revival of that loving propensity, then Krishna reveals himself. It's not that because we have done that we somehow have uncovered Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says that advance, you know, the process of devotional service does not depend upon the mechanical process of chanting. We discussed that the other day. It depends wholly and solely on the mercy of the Lord. It's not that anyone, if someone thinks chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Krishna becomes revealed. You know, I'll chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But if someone is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you know, with all sorts of offences and doing all sorts of nonsense and having all sorts of Mayavadi ideas in their head, that Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will not force Krishna to reveal himself. A person has to wait. They can chant like that for millions of lifetimes until they chant properly, and then when they chant properly with quality, then Krishna will reveal himself. It depends on the mercy of the Lord. So Krishna, then he reveals the nature of his pastimes, and by understanding the nature of Krishna's pastimes, we then get that very, very wonderful, we can see that contrast between Krishna's activities and the activities of ordinary lusty affairs in the material world. So these pastimes here, we have been reading how Krishna is wandering through the groves of Vrindavan with Srimati Radharani, and they are joking and enjoying very loving, affectionate dealings, and Krishna is picking flowers for Srimati Radharani, and then putting beautiful flowers in her hair, and so many very, very wonderful loving activities between Krishna and Srimati Radharani. So how is it that the Supreme Lord, who is supposed to be, who is God, fully self-satisfied within himself, why is he enjoying with this young girl as if he's incomplete? That's the mystery. So these three words here, as pointed out by Vilananda Maharaj, Atmarata, Atmarama, and Akandita, they're very significant. Atmarata, he who takes pleasure only within himself, and Atmarama, completely self-satisfied. So that is the nature of Krishna. He is completely self-satisfied. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that within all the 14 worlds there is nothing that I desire, nor am I in want of anything. Yet he's still engaged in activities, that is for the benefit of living entities in this world. But basically Krishna is fully self-satisfied. He is enjoying, his very nature, his spiritual body is composed of Satchitananda, eternality, knowledge and bliss. That's that verse, first verse of the Brahma Samhita. What's that verse? Ishvaraha Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha. He is the very form of unlimited knowledge, bliss and eternality. That is his form. His body, his spiritual body is composed of that. So he is self-satisfied because he's made of bliss. He's made of happiness. I'm happy. So, therefore, he's fully self-satisfied, and he derives complete, unlimited satisfaction just by being himself. He enjoys his own company. Now, Srimati Radharani, that pleasure potency of Lord Sri Krishna, it manifests the personified form of Sri Radha. And Sri Radha, so when Krishna associates with that form of Srimati Radharani, he's associating with his own pleasure potency, manifested from his own, you know, self. And when Krishna engages in pastimes with his Ladini Shakti, pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani's form transforms into prema also, love, spiritual love, of which the highest peak of that is called Mahabhava, a very, very ecstatic, transcendental ecstasy, highest pitch of happiness that is unimaginable by us. So, therefore, although Krishna is self-satisfied and completely happy, but he becomes more ecstatic when he associates with Srimati Radharani. Krishna is completely self-satisfied, but when he associates with Srimati Radharani, she takes him to the topmost peak of, you know, transcendental pleasure. But still he is completely, one may say, but he must associate with Radharani, therefore maybe he is incomplete. Radharani is his own spiritual energy, and therefore he is complete. So, when we see that the Supreme Lord is complete in himself, self-satisfied, and expands his transcendental happiness through his pleasure potency, then we can understand what are these actual affairs. And in these affairs, Krishna is very, very happy, extremely blissful. Srimati Radharani is extremely blissful. Now let us contrast that with what's supposed to be the same. Lusty affairs in this material world, they're supposed to be the same as these ecstatic pastimes. You don't see Krishna suffering any karmic reaction for his association with Srimati Radharani. You don't see him ever becoming, for instance, if we look at, you know, affairs in this material world, by engaged, prolonged, you know, trying to satisfy lusty desires, what's the word here? Sukadevi Goswami describes it, the wretchedness of ordinary lusty men. They become wretched, you know. You see a lifetime of spilling out their brains and their blood and their intelligence, trying to satisfy lusty desires, they become, you know, a mere shadow of the men they used to be. Very wretched. You know, as life goes on, sometimes, you know, these days, because people get so absorbed into sense gratification, even they're about 19, 20 years old, they're like old men. We used to, when I was on the farm there, you know, you get these boys about 17, 20, 25, and they come to the farm, and we get out and do some work, because I was just like, work, I'd be going for, you know, all day. I'd already been going for about a week. 2 hours, you know, after 2 hours, they're like, they were really, really, you know, they were just done. They were just spent, you know. And it had taken a day or two to recover. You know, I'd see them a couple of days later and get another hour's work out of them. Because, you know, there's so much sense going, there's nothing left, you know. And they end up these old senile men, you know. People wonder why people are elderly, have these diseases like dementia and what have you. You see these doddering little old men walking around, you know, all hunched over, following their wife at about 80 years old. You see the life of sense gratification. They're just reduced to nothing. Look at Srila Prabhupada, you know, he was 80 years old, travelling all around the world. His disciples, who were young men, could not keep up with him. You know, just a morning walk, his daily activities. Because of that, freedom from these, lusty, you know, ordinary material activities in this material world. Do we ever see Krishna like that? Krishna was 128 years old, so, you know, 125, 128. But he was on the back of the Gita, and he still looked about 15, 16. At that stage, He had 16,108 wives. You know, 10 children to each of those wives, or 10 sons and also daughters. They all had, you know, 10 sons and daughters, so he had all these grandchildren, you know, always hanging around. That'll exhaust him. So, you know, and here he is, you know, this picture of youth on the Battle of Kurukshetra, smiling. Does he look like, you know, he's the victim of ordinary lusty desires? And yet these people are conveniently overlooking all of this information and honing in on just one thing. Oh, he was with Radharani. That's enough for me. I don't want to hear any more. He's a lusty person. I don't want to know him. So, in comparison, and, you know, then also, as Sukadeva Goswami here points out, and hard-hearted women. See, the problem is that when women associate with men like that, they become hard-hearted. You know, prolonged association with men of that nature, it makes their hearts, you know, as hard as rocks. And therefore you see that, you know, women in this day, you know, they will even, you know, after, you know, if there's some complication from sex life, if some child is born, then they will just, you know, opt to, you know, abort, kill that child. That, you know, the child's own mother, only source of protection, you know, will you know, murder that child. So, you know, we do not see these qualities in Srimati Radharani. We do not see these qualities in Krishna. So, by contrast, and so these pastimes of Krishna, they do reveal, when they're looked at properly and heard through the parampara system, one can contrast the nature of the, you know, miserable activities in the material world compared to the very blissful activities of Krishna with his own spiritual, you know, energies in these pastimes, and therefore be attracted to the pastimes of Krishna and become detached from activities, become detached from, you know, understanding, you know, what is on offer in the spiritual world. And what's on offer here, naturally one becomes a bit detached. Oh, well, I'll leave this here, there's something better over there. It's like you go shopping, go to the markets in Dandenong, you see there's some mangoes, and, you know, they're looking pretty cheap, you've got a lot of bruises, but, you know, it's a good bargain, they're pretty cheap, pretty bruised, and, you know, some of them going off, and I'm a bit smelly. And then, you know, they're a good price. You look up the road, there's beautiful mangoes, perfect condition, you know. But they're also, oh, I'll take them. So, you know, you shop around, get a better deal for yourself. So if you're shopping around, don't just take what's on offer in the material world. There's better deals offered. Krishna's giving a better deal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving, you know, giving this better deal at the cheapest possible price. So we should, you know, be good discerning shoppers and, you know, take what is on offer. And the price that we have to pay is to chant the, you know, faith. We just have faith in Krishna's holy names, then we can, you know, understand, taste, and ultimately attain association with Krishna and Srimati Radharani, and reciprocate the Hridini Shakti in the spiritual world. So, does anyone have any comments or questions about these pastimes? Or about the ordinary lusty affairs of men and women in this world. Or comments, or everyone satisfied? We can leave it there. Get in there. All glory to Prabhupada.